Summertime usually means it's baseball season in America. Back in 2011, four high school buddies from Seattle outfitted a VW van to spend the summer driving across the country. They wanted to watch the home team play at each one of the 30 Major League Baseball stadiums. They called themselves the Ballpark Boys, and two of them joined us in our Travel with Rick Steves studio the following year to share the pure pleasure of what it's like to be young and on an adventure. Kellen Larson had just graduated from high school, and Travis Smith was wrapping up his freshman year at college. Travis gets us started.
Well, we bought a van and decided to take it around the country and see a baseball game in every Major League Baseball park across the country in 28 different cities. We saw 30 different ballparks, and each time we were there, we saw the home team play, and we traveled across, 36 different states, over 15,000 miles, and it took us 54 days.
What a trip.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
So four of you buddies from high school.
That's right.
54 days, 28 cities, every ballpark. Every ballpark.
Yeah.
Where did this idea come from?
It's been kind of a kitchen table dream that we started when we were about 12. We've always been big Seattle Mariner baseball fans. We played sports together as kids, but we never played baseball on the same team. So our love of baseball grew around us watching the Mariners. Living up here in the Northwest in Seattle, you're about 1,000 miles away from any other ballpark.
Probably farther than any other major city in the lower 48 from a ballpark.
True. Yeah.
Whoa, so you were sort of starved to try out some new ballparks.
Yeah. And so our original goal was, well, let's go watch the Mariners take a road trip down to Southern California and see the Angels, maybe the A's play. And it slowly developed into, well, why don't we try and see all 30 ballparks? Everybody who enjoys
Mission
baseball
creep.
Wants to do that.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. There's four of you guys packed into a little van.
Yeah.
And you had to live together. Did you sleep in the van?
We slept in the van a lot, yeah. The main thing that we did before we left was we tried to compile a big list of all the friends and relatives we had all across the country.
Right.
And so in probably about half the cities, we were able to stay with someone that we knew. But a lot of the times, we didn't even have time to stay in a city, and so we'd just have to drive all through the night. And in places where we didn't have a solid contact, we just set up shop in the van.
We drove a Eurovan, which has the ability to pop the top up, and it can actually sleep four people. The back seat pulls out into a small bed, and the top folds out, and you can sleep four, two on the bottom, two up top. And many a night we spent in highway rest
stops. But did four actually sleep?
If you call it sleeping, it was tough sometimes.
Now, were you good luck? You went to every team. Were you good luck when you came into town?
We weren't. Especially earlier in the trip, our record actually for the home team was quite poor. I think the home team only won probably about 10 games.
10 games.
10 games out of 30.
10 games.
So, yeah, so really we weren't good luck,
actually. So you're basically, if you were rooting for the home team, you were batting about 33% or something.
That's right.
That's true.
It's a good batting average.
Good batting average.
Not a good win percentage.
Not a great winning percentage, yeah.
Now, if you had the money, would you have preferred to just fly from city to city?
Not in the least, no.
Why not?
Driving was one of the best parts of the whole experience because we really got to see, you know, all the people in the whole country. We saw every environment and every culture, really, that the U.S. has to offer. And that was really, driving was the only way to do it.
Flying, you just arrive at the airport. By driving, we saw the changes in between Southern California and Texas, or Colorado and Minnesota.
Travis, what are some of the cultural differences you noticed as you really traveled every corner of the country?
Well, one of my favorite places to see was Detroit, Michigan, you know, a big city that's about as opposite as you can be from Seattle. It's not very clean. And the first thing we noticed when we drove in was a building that was just half gone, just completely destroyed. The atmosphere in the city was very different. Everything closed at about 9 p.m. Gas stations closed their doors. You could not go into the store. And actually, Kendall, one of the other kids who went on the trip, was asked to take a photograph of a family outside of Tigers Ballpark, and they tipped him $2. And he said, "Wait, you don't need to tip me $2. And they said, "Well, you didn't run off with my camera."
So you really noticed a difference. Just, we hear about the economic struggles in our country from region to region.
Correct.
Yeah.
Kellen, what was your feeling about that? Did you go into places in the country that it was really clear, God, a lot of these businesses are boarded up?
Yeah, for sure. Like in Detroit, as we were talking about, there were a lot of skyscrapers and it seemed like half of them were just abandoned. So yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of really high-end places, but also driving through East Oakland was an experience.
And then we went to Texas where everything was big and you had to drive about 45 minutes to get to any grocery store.
So you saw these cultural differences. Is baseball something that is in common across the country, or what was your take on how baseball fits in with all these cultures.
I still believe that baseball is the most popular sport in the United States.
So you'd say it's the great American game still.
It is the, we were looking at present America through its pastime. The baseball parks were kind of our skeleton of the trip. It was our excuse to get off to these different stadiums. And the real meat was the journey in between the culture that we experienced, the differences between St. Louis and Chicago, cities that are just a couple hours away. But at the same time, one is just red brick buildings with lots of stone and a big military influence. And the other one is hustle and bustle. And in it all is a love of baseball, love of the baseball team. And some cities supported their teams much better than others.
Where did you find the most avid support?
I would say Philadelphia.
Philadelphia was really great, yeah.
If somebody says football is really the new American game, how would you respond?
See, it's just not the same for me. You get football once a week, twice a week if you count Monday night, but you could never do this trip with football. You'd have absolutely no shot. There's something about baseball. It's played every day, you know, it's a long season.
I read in your blog, if football is an affair,
and baseball is a marriage to a sports fan. That's exactly what it is. You have to deal with baseball every day, and it can be tough sometimes.
You live
football
it. In good times and bad.
You right. truly live it. And football's exciting, and I love football, don't get me wrong, but right. only with this trip can you do baseball because they play every day.
Travis Smith and Kellen Larson are two of the Ballpark Boys, lifelong friends who visited all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums in one summer. You can listen to their entire 2012 interview with us from a link to our archives. It's posted with today's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Okay, now you visited all 30 major league parks in the country. Kellen, what was your favorite park of all of them?
I really liked the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Whenever anyone asked me my favorite, I was having a tough time deciding whether I was going to view it objectively just by the structure. And so I just decided to input all of it, all the experience, everything. And in Cincinnati, it was a beautiful day. We got a private tour of the field, and there was an amazing game. A walk-off home run. And so I'd say Great American Ballpark was my favorite. I really liked PNC Park in Pittsburgh. It was really cool. AT&T in San Francisco also.
Apart from how good the game was, what particular stadium do you think is the most successful?
That's a tough one. I might have to go with Petco Park in San Diego. I loved Petco.
Why?
It's really kind of expansive. They've got a huge concourse. And
it's built into the city.
Yeah, it's really into the city. They have
it's like a park just
there,
next
there
to
is.
There.
There's
yeah,
in the, you know, you have to scan your ticket, and then in the actual gates is like a large grassy area. Like
an apartment complex is opening down
yeah.
to it.
Is there a ballpark ritual or tradition that really struck you? You've seen, I read in your blog, one stadium has fireworks. What distinguishes a stadium as far as rituals go?
Sweet Caroline in Boston was great. Everybody gets up in the seventh inning stretch, and Fenway and sings along to a Neil Diamond. So that was really cool.
Why do they do that there?
It's just a tradition.
That's a good question.
It's evolved. Nobody knows.
Travis, what ritual struck you?
People sing different songs in the sixth and eighth innings, and in Texas, both in Houston and in the ballpark in Arlington, they sing Deep in the Heart of Texas. In Kansas City, they sang, oh, I've Got Friends in Low Places. And then in Milwaukee, they have bratwurst eating contests, believe it or not.
As stadiums are being torn down and rebuilt and so on, a lot of big stadiums are moving out into the suburb. What's your preference, urban stadiums or suburban ones?
Now that we've seen them all, my opinion is if you have to drive over 20 minutes to the stadium, it's not worth it. For us, well, living here in Seattle, you can walk to the ballpark from downtown. But in Arlington or in Kansas City, to watch either a Royals or a Rangers game, you had to drive probably 35 minutes outside of the city to go see the game, which means...
But wait a minute, you just drove 15,000 miles.
I think what he's getting at is that it adds a lot if it's in downtown.
Sort
if it's
of
in the
part
city.
Of it, woven
you,
into the
can,
urban land.
If you can just be in the city and walk by
that's
the stadium,
great.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah. You take a classic stadium like the house that Ruth built, Yankee Stadium. They tore it down, right? Built
they
a
did,
new one.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I've actually been to both.
You've been to both. How does the new one compare?
I really like the new one. Actually, the old Yankee Stadium was the only other ballpark I'd ever been to when we started the trip, aside from the Kingdom and Safeco. They're both really close to each other. I can't really decide which one I liked better, because the old Yankee Stadium had, it just looked enormous, and it had this feel to it, but also it was kind of dirty and old.
So there's a freshness to the new one, but it's still,
it's a classic.
I mean, it does the trick.
It is. It's very majestic.
Travis, and the atmosphere is unbeatable in the new Yankee Stadium.
Well, you got the biggest payroll.
You've got some of the biggest, but not only that, but you've got the most devoted fans. We said that Philadelphia had some of the loudest, kind of most in-your-face fans, but in New York, before each game, they shout out the first name of every starting player until they give them a wave. And if somebody makes a great catch, you're going to get a standing ovation. You don't get that in other ballparks.
So where was the opposite? Where are the fans just kind of...
Toronto.
Really?
Toronto is...
So Canada
maybe
just
it's
doesn't
the Canadian
get it. It's the one Canadian stadium.
And which was... It was interesting. Our Toronto stay was great, but...
You guys liked the stadium, I remember from your blog.
I liked the stadium.
Yeah, it was cool looking. It has a hotel built into center field.
Right.
Which is pretty unique and kind of cool looking, but... the atmosphere and the game.
There were 6,500 fans there at a stadium that seats over 50.
Oh, that's depressing right there. Yeah. Now, you saw all the stadiums. Is there a difference, or what is the difference between the National League and American League from the experience of going to the game?
Well, one of the things that we enjoyed about this trip was baseball does not have set dimensions. You know, in football, it's 100 yards. In baseball, there's no dimensions, no regulations for how high the fence has to be or how deep it is. So truly, every stadium was different from every other one that we saw. And between the American and National League, we really didn't notice anything at all.
Okay, so it varies from stadium to stadium, regardless of...
Right.
How does tailgating... is there a tailgating culture?
Yeah.
I associate it with football.
Really, the one place that we experienced that was in Milwaukee at Miller Park. And they have this huge... I think really the only park that does it really nicely is everybody just goes, and it's like $5 parking right next to the stadium.
Very cheap.
And you just get out your stools and you get out your brats and you...
We weren't used to it. You know, we weren't anticipating it. We pulled up about 2 hours before the game hoping to at least experience some of the energy that existed up in Milwaukee. And Milwaukee was my favorite ballpark because everybody else was pulling out bratwurst and beer and we pulled out our little two-burner stove.
And you were right part of the scene there.
And we made pasta.
We made some pasta.
There's probably a conviviality there where you get to meet people and so on.
Our van was a loud, painted, very colorful vehicle that attracted attention. And as we sat in parking lots and sat outside the van, we had more people than we could imagine come up and ask us about our trip, ask us about different ballparks.
If you closed your eyes right now, and then I took you to a concourse in some stadium around the country, and you opened your eyes, and you just looked at the food that was being served, could you identify the park?
I think we'd have a good chance, yeah.
What would be really characteristic?
I think some of the best stuff we had was AT&T Park in San Francisco. They had a lot of really good seafood. Travis
Clam
got
chowder
a
bread bowl.
Chowder bread bowl, which was just a hit. There was a lot of barbecue in Kansas City was really good. We had some of that.
Some stadiums have their quintessential, almost unique food that if you showed it to us, like the cinnamon bread in Anaheim, the special sauce bratwurst in Milwaukee, we could identify it right away.
What is the giveaway food or the telltale food at Mariner Stadium in Seattle?
I'd say it's the Ichiro. Our Japanese influence.
Are we the only stadium that has sushi? We might.
We did not run into sushi very often on this
Seattle's
trip.
Seattle's got sushi and Seattle's got Ichiro.
We do. Yeah.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm speaking with the Ballpark Boys, Kellen Larson and Travis Smith, half of a foursome that spent their summer break driving around the country visiting 28 cities, all 30 parks in the major leagues. 15,000 miles packed into a little minibus. So, Kellen, you drove 15,000 miles, or you drove a quarter of it, I suppose. How did you guys pass the time in the drives?
We listened to a lot of music. We had a rule where each of us had to make 3 playlists, each consisting of 20 songs, and so we listened to that.
Were there ground rules in the car?
The driver got to choose the music, and that was pretty much it.
There was a lot of sleeping going on.
You took turns sleeping and driving then.
Right, yeah, we had shifts.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Right, yeah. We had a rule where you have to have 2 awake at all times to prevent drowsy driving, which is very dangerous.
Which was needed because we had 4 overnight drives from this trip, some of them were long hauls.
So you had shifts. With 4 of you, you could do it.
That's right.
What about road food? How does a teen diet work when your parents are thousands
terrible.
Of miles away?
I have not wanted to eat at a Subway for...
I haven't since
months.
Toronto. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a lot of times we're in a hurry.
It's limited.
And also you just get off on the side of the road when you need to get gas and you say, okay, we need to get food here. And there are limited options. So
at one point we ordered 10 tacos from the back of a gas station in southern Texas because it seemed like the best food,
something
that wasn't prepackaged. And that was tough to digest.
Where could you channel Joe DiMaggio best? Was there any stadiums where you really felt there was a spirit of the old stars there?
I mean, you'd probably say Fenway Park in Boston.
It's the only one, really. Well, it and Wrigley are the only.
Fenway Park's
really
celebrating
to...
its 100th year anniversary this year.
Wow.
If there's not stories in between those lines.
We were in Fenway on the 4th of July, actually.
We were in Boston.
Which is
cool.
Perfect.
Saw the Boston Pops, the fireworks show over the river. It was...
When I say 4,256, what comes to mind?
Pete Rose.
What stadium?
Great American Ballpark. Oh, well, I don't know.
Well, yeah, not there, but, the old one. But that monument.
At the Great American Ballpark, yeah, in the Reds Hall of Fame, they have a wall that's completely covered, stretches up three floors, completely covered in baseballs, and there are 4,256 of them.
Wow, one hit each for hit. Each Pete Rose hit. The most hits in baseball history,
most
more than Ty Cobb?
Yep.
Oh, man.
We need a hit, so here I go.
Ball one.
And Cullen, was there anything for you that was like a pilgrimage and you finally got there and go, yes, this is what I've always dreamed of seeing?
I really loved, in Citi Field in New York, we saw a Subway Series game, Mets-Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
And the energy in that building was amazing. Whenever either team scored or did something great, the noise was just tremendous.
It was the largest crowd ever at that ballpark.
Yeah.
Now, what about when the White Sox played the Cubs?
We also saw that game, fortunately.
You did? Now, that was
US
great planning.
In U.S. Cellular Field, we saw the White Sox play the Cubs, but I felt like that rivalry was not as vicious as the New York Subway Series, crosstown rivalry. I saw multiple fans wearing jerseys that were split in half. The left side would be Cubs.
Oh, really?
Cubs blue
pinstripe.
And the right
that wouldn't
side
happen
would
in New York,
Sox,
huh?
Pinstripe. No, you're one or the other in
one
New York.
One or the
City.
Other.
That's right. Another one of the great games we saw, though, was the Red Sox in Philadelphia, which doesn't happen very often. That's interleague series, and it was like a weekday matinee, which also doesn't happen very often.
Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, that was a great game. We saw Reds at the Great American Ballpark. The Cardinals were in town. That's a really big rivalry. That was a lot of fun.
What was the most memorable time you met a current player?
Curtis Granderson?
Yeah, Curtis Granderson, when we were in Tampa Bay at Tropicana Field.
Was he friendly? Was he happy to see you?
He was amazing. He was like a very real guy. I didn't expect it.
Did he know what you were doing?
We were on the field at the Trop, and they were taking batting practice, and it was really great. Derek Jeter had just gotten his 3,000th hit a couple games before, and there's Jorge Posada and all these Yankees. And we're standing on the field, and Curtis Granderson comes over, and he's like, hey, what's up, guys? We just said, hey, this is what we're doing. And
you told him what you're doing.
We did. And
what
he's like, no way. How many have you been to so far? And he like talked to us about it for a couple of minutes. Got
see,
a picture.
Every
great.
Player in the majors would love to talk to you if they really knew what
we,
you were doing.
We even had the opportunity to interview Charlie Manuel, the skipper of the Philadelphia Phillies. And we talked to him about his opinions on different ballparks versus our opinion on different ballparks.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
You guys could be consultants when people are making parks.
It's true.
Hey. How about that?
Travis, what did you learn about your best friends that you didn't know before the trip?
Despite anything that we may live through, we have certainly had our fights along the way. At the end, through it all, these guys are still my best friends, and I think it'll always be that way, no matter what stands in our way. Because, let me get this straight, the trip was not all happy the entire time. We spent, at one point, we had 22 straight hours in a car, and if four guys in that small of a space don't get to you, I don't know what will, but...
right, yeah.
So you never had to strap anybody to the roof?
We were close.
We were getting there, actually, yeah.
Kellen, when you look back 50 years from now, what are you going to tell your grandkids about this adventure?
I'm going to let them know how nice people were to us. We experienced amazing just hospitality and generosity from so many people we'd never met before, that would come up to our van, ask us about our trip. We'd tell them a little bit, and they'd say, well, what can we do to help you out? I was really blown away by a lot of the responses we got, that people offering us free meals, free nights on their couch, you know, and it really meant a lot to us.
And I have to say, if one thing stuck out for me of just the wildest thing that happened, it had to be, we remember this, driving through southern Texas on a stretch of I-10 going west to San Diego, where we ran into the world's, or at least the most extravagant lightning storm I've ever seen, right along the border where a flash of lightning would illuminate Walmarts and Walgreens on the right in America, and about 50 yards on your left were little shacks of houses that were illuminated by the flash of lightning that were in Mexico across the river. And that stood out.
I'd say you guys may have been celebrating the end of a school year, but you had quite an education in that one summer of travels around our country.
Yeah, it was. I learned a lot, for sure.
Kellen Larson, Travis Smith, the Ballpark Boys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tatton, Isaac Kaplan-Wolner, and Kazmara Hall. Our website is managed by Andrew Wakeling and Amara Kitnikone. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. Thanks to KPCC Pasadena for studio help this week. There's more online at ricksteves.com/radio.